Amen. Thank you, worship team, for leading us so beautifully. He called me out of darkness into His glorious light. What a joy that we no longer walk in darkness. Jesus is the light of the world, and He has come to give us life, and that abundantly. What a joy it is that we have not only to pray and to sing together and to worship our God in that way, but also to give our full attention to the Word of God. And so today I would like to ask you if you would stand as we read from the Gospel, the first Gospel, the Gospel of Matthew, beginning in chapter 20, verse 29. Give your full and undivided attention to the holy and inspired Word of God. And as they went out of Jericho, a great crowd followed Jesus. And behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, son of David!" The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. But they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us, son of David!" And stopping, Jesus called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed Him. This is the word of the Lord. If I'm not mistaken, there's actually a verse that did not get included in the reading. Okay? And it's kind of a pivotal verse. Jesus asked, but they had to give a response. And that's what this message is all about. Jesus is asking you today, here in the pew, "Roberta, what do you want from me? Jeff, what is it that you want me to do for you today?" Jesus is asking that question, and it is every bit as vibrant and pertinent today in 2022 as it was 2,000 years ago. We've talked about the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. And many of the references in the songs that we sang today have to do with this light. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a hope and a belief and a trust that God would come into this world in the incarnation and that He would bring light to us. And those that are blind, they will be able to see. And not just physical blindness, my brothers and sisters, but actually, more importantly, the spiritual blindness that so many of us had walked in. But now we have seen a great light. And Jesus Christ is that great light. And He has spoken light and life into our lives. And what a joy that is that we know. Now, Jesus is on His way to Jerusalem from the town of Jericho. Now, Jericho is an ancient city. Some people say that it is one of the most ancient cities in human history. Anyway, the evidence of that, the archaeological evidence, would lend some credence to that it's thousands and thousands, maybe even 13 or 14,000 years old. And it is in that Dead Sea Valley, and the climate there is beautiful. How many of you have ever had the privilege of being in Jericho? Well, let me tell you, if you ever have a chance, please go. How many times have I said to you, if you get a chance to go to the Holy Land, go, because it is an incredible experience. I've had the privilege a couple of times to be in and around the city of Jericho. And that is a place of tumultuous events, of course. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Jesus is down there, and He's speaking life into the lives of people there, and now He's on His way up the road. Several thousand feet is the journey, and at least a half day's journey from Jericho up to Jerusalem. This is getting close to the last week of Christ's life, and He is on His way. And here there are two blind men that are on the side of the road. And they're crying out, "Lord, Kyrios, son of David, have mercy on us." Now, these people, though they are blind, they have seen that great light. Because they are referring to Jesus as Lord, as the Son of David, and as the one who is able to bring mercy. Indeed, they had faith to believe that he was able to heal their blindness. What a beautiful thing. These two men. There's another place in the Gospels where this is recorded in Mark and in Luke. And Mark and Luke choose to just focus on the vocal one, the more of the two vocal ones. And they call them blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. How many of you ever heard of blind Bartimaeus? Right. And Jesus speaks to Bartimaeus and his friend. He stops. I think this is amazing because he is setting his face as flint, the scripture says in one of the Gospels, to what he knows is going to happen to him in Jerusalem. Jesus is going to suffer at the hands of the religious leaders. He's going to be handed over to the Romans, and he is going to be flogged, spat upon, and he is going to die a criminal's death on the cross. How must that have weighed upon the heart of Jesus as he was looking toward that? And yet, he stops. Now, just before that, the crowds have said, "Be quiet already!" As if to say, just like the disciples had said about the kids that came with the parents, "Don't bother the master with your little problems." But what do? They cry out all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." They knew that he was the Messiah because the scripture said that out of the root of David would come the Messiah, the one who would redeem and that one who would save. They're calling upon the name of Jesus as the Messiah. They're persistent. They cry out all the louder. They are not going to be pushed down by the crowd. They are persistent. When you have people around you that maybe tell you to keep quiet, are you going to be dissuaded or are you going to look even more to the Master? This world and all of its attractions and all of its naysayers is going to try to pull you down. Don't let the world pull you down away from Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on him and pray all the more fervently. Cry out all the more loudly, "Lord, Kyrios, Son of David, have mercy." Jesus had a lot on his mind, as I referred to already, thinking about what was going to happen to him. But he had time for these two people, blind Bartimaeus and his friend. He stopped and he looked at them and he had pity on them. The Lord's heart was filled with compassion for them. And just like blind Bartimaeus and his friend, Jesus has time for you and for me. Whatever your troubles are in your life, whatever the blindness that you're struggling with, I mean, Jesus promised that he would give us light, and he is the light of the world, and the scripture says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet. But how often is it in your own experience that you just have light for the moment? Light for the next step. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, next week, next month, next year, a decade. But that's not what we're promised, you see? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And he promises to give you just enough light as you take the step of faith to go to follow him. Jesus is with you. Jesus has time for you. This is the compassion of Jesus. Well, now comes the question of Jesus. He stops and he looks at them and he directs his voice toward them because after all, you know, they can't see Jesus. And he says, "What is it that you would have me do for you?" It's a pretty simple question, isn't it? Pretty plain. Jesus, isn't it quite obvious that these people are blind? They're crying out for mercy. I guess it's, you know, pretty self-evident that they want to be healed, right? And Jesus had healed all the way through his 3 years of ministry. He was known to be a healer. He had healed the eyes of many, many blind people. Bartimaeus and his friend probably knew that. Jesus yet asks the question, what is it that you want me to do for you, even though that it's so obvious? And Jesus asks that question of us as well. You know, because there are so many questions. There are so many answers. And we could be looking at the wrong thing, my brothers and sisters. Jesus wants us to be intentional about our prayers. He wants us to be thoughtful about our prayers. James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote later on in his letter, he says, you have not because you ask not. Ha! Get it? Jesus wants you to articulate your prayer. Okay? He doesn't want you to have, you know, the kind of frozen, chosen attitude of whatever will be, and I don't need to pray about it. Right? Jesus wants us to have communication with him, moment by moment, day by day, hour by hour. That old hymn, I need thee every hour. And how do we show our need? We articulate our need. I need you, Jesus. Ye have not because ye ask not. But when you ask wrongly to fulfill maybe your own desires. Listen, James also says toward the end of his book, is any of you sick? Call the elders. Have them anoint you. And the prayer of faith will heal you. Do you believe that Jesus is able to heal all of your diseases? Yeah, he can. A little bit earlier, as we were preparing for worship, we were talking about one of the hymns. You know Fanny Crosby? She wrote many beautiful hymns, and she was blind. And I wonder if she ever prayed, Lord, would you heal me of my blindness? But later on in life, she said, you know, the Lord never gave me physical sight. But the one thing that I'm looking forward to in my life is that the moment that I pass from this life, when I open my eyes on the other side, I will see my Savior. I will be healed. Listen, sometimes we get healed of our diseases in this life, and sometimes we don't, and that is a mystery that we cannot comprehend or that we do not understand. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 says, no temptation, no test, no trial has overtaken you that is not common to other people. Okay? So like the stuff that you're dealing with, you're not the only person in the world that is experiencing that. There are other people. Okay? The scripture says, so no test or trial that has overtaken you is uncommon to men. But God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able to endure. He won't test you beyond your limits. But with this test will also provide the way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. Maybe we shouldn't pray so much that God would remove all our burdens, but that he would grant us strength to carry our burdens. In this world, you will have tribulation. Maybe that's not such a popular a verse from the Bible or words from Jesus, but he's assuring us that we will have tests and trials and tribulations in this world. That kind of goes with the territory, my brothers and sisters. And who here can say that they've lived a whole life free of that? No, you and I have experienced all of this, but with that testing, God will provide the way. He will not test you beyond your limits or beyond your ability. Jesus says, what is it that you want me to do for you? Let us pray in the Spirit at all times. Let us pray maybe not so much for the simple, quick answers, but say, Lord, I'm in a deep, hard place right now in my life. and I would like this problem to go away. Yeah? I'd like you to fix it. And please, feel free to express your heart. Isn't it the psalmist? Over and over, for 150 psalms, just poured out his heart. God wants you to pour out your heart to Him. And it's quite okay for you to say, Lord, please. Because even Jesus, just a week hence, is going to be in Gethsemane, and He's going to be in a place of intense prayer. So intense that His sweating and His blood will be intermingled. And He says, Lord, is there any way that You can remove this trial from me, this cup of my destiny? And yet, not my will, but Thy will be done. Yes, it's okay to pray that prayer. Lord, would You please remove this? But always follow that up with saying, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. Lord, that You would be honored in my life, that You would be glorified in my life, that You would receive the praise and not me. God is calling you to pray the right prayers. What is it that You want me to do for You? And they said, Lord, we would receive our sight. You see, they already had spiritual sight. They knew who they were talking to. The Lord of all creation, the One who had created eyes in the first place. So it would be easy for Him to heal. The Lord, the Son of David, the Messiah, the One, the Merciful One. And indeed, Jesus has mercy. He has compassion. For the Scripture says, and He looked on them, and He had pity on them. And He touched their eyes, and they saw. They received their sight. Oh, that is the power of Jesus. Jesus is able to do anything and everything, far exceeding our wildest imaginations. Let us pray with boldness, my brothers and sisters. Let us pray with confidence. Let's pray in the Spirit at all times, saying, Lord, would You move in my heart so that I would know how to pray in this situation? For we know not how. We ought to pray sometimes. Have you ever been in that place? You don't know how to pray. The Holy Spirit Himself will speak in your heart, in your spirit, with utterances that are too deep for human articulation. Do you believe that? God is at work, and He puts the prayers on our tongues, and we pray them, and He answers them according to His divine purposes for each and every one, for our good, and for His glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand and sing our hymn of dedication, One Pure and Holy Passion.